the Heathrow hassle.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's another tough day at Europe's busiest airport. About 70% of flights at London's Heathrow are going out, but the lines are long and some flights to the U.S. are canceled. Here in the States, airport dumpsters are filled with cosmetics, sunscreen, and shampoo. People have to throw away their liquids or stuff them into checked baggage before boarding. The new security measures might be necessary, but they're still inconvenient for travelers. Lisa Napoli looks at the impact on the airlines.
Trying to predict what's going to happen to the airline business is just plain guesswork, so says John Infanger of Airline Business Magazine. But he says tightened security measures are likely to have a cascading effect on the airline's bottom line.
I have to think that this is going to force them to change their schedules, and that's going to directly affect their profitability.
Airline consultant Bob Mann wonders what stricter security might do to business travel.
That's likely to result in people thinking twice as to whether that trip's really necessary, or if so, how they choose to travel.
If new restrictions on what you can bring on board stick, he says the airline business might make a lot of cash eventually with in-flight concessions, but Mann says we have our priorities misplaced.
Do we really care if everyone has a keychain penknife? You know, we have this fixation on objects, object detection, as opposed to terrorist detection.
In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Airline stocks really weren't hit that hard on Wall Street. United and Continental each lost 1%. American was unchanged. Overall, the Dow climbed 48 points, about 0.5%. And the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 also gained 0.5%. China's new train to Tibet has to be breathtaking. Well, it is breathtaking, actually. They provide oxygen masks because you're so high up, 16,000 feet. Some passengers get nosebleeds. The scenery might just be worth it. But is the $4 billion railway? Jocelyn Ford reports.
The Tibetan railway is sinking and cracking. One of the biggest technical challenges was how to build on permafrost, soil that remains frozen year-round. So far, Chinese experts say cracks in the foundation and bridges can be taken care of with normal maintenance. But the government plans to survey how rising temperatures and the heavy train are changing the permafrost. The problems do not appear to be daunting tourists. Travel agent Li Shai took a group on the train's maiden voyage on July 1st, but now he has to turn customers down.
They just can't say sorry because ticket is so difficult, you know.
In the first month of operation, 70,000 tourists took the train, about half the number of people who flew to Tibet. Many Tibetans have mixed feelings about the influx. They welcome the tourist dollar, but worry their culture will be crushed. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Tomorrow is a big anniversary for the PC. 25 years ago, IBM trotted out its first personal computer. It cost $1,500 and had a 4 megahertz processor. Today's computers are 800 times faster. This is Marketplace. So, who are you going to draft? Larry Johnson, Sean Alexander? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you aren't playing fantasy football this season. But as Stacey Vanek-Smith tells us, lots of people are.
They're male, they're about 36, and they own their homes. Meet the 15 million people who have made fantasy sports into a $1.5 billion business. That's according to a study from the University of Mississippi. Now, this may have some spouses rolling their eyes, but it has advertisers drooling. Bobby McCormick teaches sports economics at Clemson University.
A lot of money's on the line. It heightens their demand to know details. It really does integrate the fan into the sport.
So advertisers are paying seven figures to appear on the real-time game stats that ESPN will send to your cell phone and Fox will send to your computer. DirecTV even put up the dough for ESPN to make every NFL game fully interactive with fantasy stats and injury updates. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Information available at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Fidel Castro turns 80 this Sunday. He's still recovering from intestinal surgery. His illness has fueled all kinds of speculation about what will happen if Castro dies. His brother Raul has taken over for now. I spoke with Brian Littell, a former CIA analyst, who's written a book about Cuba's future.
I don't think there'll be too much change in the beginning. Raul will feel an obligation, a political necessity, to continue honoring his brother's legacy. But sometime later, I expect that Raul will begin opening the economy, especially at the grassroots level, allowing greater private initiative, entrepreneurship, greater foreign investment. And that, I think, will be the beginning of some significant change.
Well, considering how long this embargo has been going on, how patient do you think the U.S. will be in that situation?
I think the embargo is going to be a fact of life for at least another couple of years through the course of the current administration in Washington. But, Fidel Castro has always wanted this kind of estrangement from the United States. It has always served his political purposes. I think all of that is going to change now because he's no longer calling the shots. My hope is that the embargo will no longer be in effect 2 or 3 years from now.
Well, Venezuela has been helping Cuba out quite a bit. Will the new Cuba even need the United States?
Actually, the Cuban economy today is probably doing better than it has in maybe the last 10 or 12 years. One of the main reasons for that is the very large influx of or flow of Venezuelan subsidy. But we're the biggest market. We're the most logical market. Once Cuba starts producing goods again and services on a, in a globally competitive fashion, we're the logical market, just 90 miles from Cuban shores. I think Cuba will have a huge potential for producing ethanol from the sugar cane that it historically grew, so effectively and so efficiently. The potential for exporting large volumes of ethanol to the United States from sugarcane, I think that's going to be very attractive.
How much of a concern is the possibility of a mass exodus out of Cuba once Fidel Castro dies?
I think that's one of the biggest concerns in Washington and Miami. Another mass migration would be tumultuous and terrible. It would have a horrible impact in the United States. Another mass migration would be very destabilizing for the successor regime. It could delegitimize Raul or the others in a future administration. It's the worst case scenario, and it could easily happen again. If for any reason law and order breaks down on the island in a way that the authorities could no longer control the movement of people on the island as they do so effectively, then I think the odds are very, very high.
Brian, thanks so much.
Well, I thank you.
Brian Littell is author of After Fidel, the inside story of Castro's regime and Cuba's next leader. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Summer jobs aren't just for kids.